demigod's appeal to the Lord. Text 49. When one pours water on the root of a tree,
the trunk and branches of the tree are automatically pleased. Similarly, when one becomes a devotee of Lord Vishnu, everyone is served, for the Lord is the supersoul of everyone. I will do it responsibly. You can repeat after me, please. When one pours water on the root of a tree, the trunk and branches of the tree are automatically pleased. Similarly, when one becomes a devotee of Lord Vishnu, everyone is served, for the Lord is the supersoul of everyone. As stated in the Padma Purana, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samacharam. Of all types of worship, worship of Lord Vishnu is best, and better than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotee, the Vaishnava. There are many demigods worshipped by people who are attached to material desires. Kamaistaistaya Hritigyana Prapadyantanya Devata. Because people are embarrassed by so many material desires, they worship Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the goddess Kali, Durga, Ganesh, and Surya to achieve different results. However, one can achieve all these results simultaneously just by worshipping Lord Vishnu. As stated elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, 4.31.14. Yata taro mula nishechanena tripyanti yat skanda bujo pashaka prano paharaj chayatendriyanam tataiva sarvarhanam achyuteja. Just by pouring water on the root of a tree, one nourishes its trunk and all of its branches, fruits and flowers. And just by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the limbs of the body. Similarly, by worshipping Lord Vishnu, one can satisfy everyone. Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian religious movement. Rather, it is meant for all-embracing welfare activities for the world. One can enter this movement without discrimination in terms of caste, creed, religion, or nationality. If one is trained to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the origin of Vishnu Tattva, one can become fully satisfied and perfect in all respects. Yatahi skanda shakhanam taror mula visechanam evama radhanam vishno sarvesham atmanas chahi. When one pours water on the root of a tree, the trunk and branches of the tree are automatically pleased. Similarly, when one becomes a devotee of Lord Vishnu, everyone is served, for the Lord is the supersoul of everyone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse is very well known, actually. The message, at least, of this verse is very prominent and very important in Krishna consciousness. Even we see Srila Prabhupada quotes another verse, this time from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is essentially saying the same thing. In fact, it is saying the same thing, actually. Just perhaps in a slightly more expanded form. But it is just the same thing, same point. You water the root of a tree, and all the parts of the tree become nourished. You nourish the root, in other words, and all the rest of the tree becomes nourished, without exception. There's no need at all to go to any of the other parts and try and do something particularly to nourish them. There's no need. It becomes a waste of time, as Prabhupada was saying yesterday morning. Anatha. Anatha means some unwanted thing. It's unnecessary. We may have it. We may want it. We may do it. Whatever. But actually, it's unwanted. There's no help. Rather, it's a waste, actually. It's just a waste, something unnecessary and just useless. So, to go around watering the leaves and branches and fruits and flowers and twigs and so on and so forth on a tree is just a waste of time. It's quite unnecessary. There's no need. Don't bother. Difficult and involved activity that would be. So much time and so much effort would have to go into it. But if one actually just put the same water on the root, just like that, then in no time, just like that, in a matter of seconds, you would have done the needful to satisfy all the parts of the tree, without having to go through that painstaking process, climbing around and so on like that. Yes, so that endeavor, climbing around, trying to water everything, would just be anatha, actually. Just some useless, unwanted thing, which is no help at all. Even, you might say, well, if I put the water directly on those different parts, then maybe they would get some special nourishment. Maybe it would just, even though they get it through the watering the roots, but this would be, you know, like a special gesture of taking special care, and so therefore it would be better. But no, if you water a leaf or a flower, then that leaf or flower does not get the same benefit, as much benefit, as if you just put the water on the root, because then there's that system for distributing the water and its benefit in the right way. Otherwise, you put a little water on a leaf, it won't really help the leaf. Yes, so, in a similar way, the point being made here by Lord Brahma is that if we simply satisfy you, then we're doing the best thing to satisfy every one of us. We may try going to each one individually, giving you this, giving you that, trying to help them in different ways, but we would not be helping them in the same way as if we simply please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a very important point in Krishna consciousness. In fact, it's so important we see here that there are actually two verses There are two verses in Srimad Bhagavatam which are saying specifically the same thing, the very same thing. And we've mentioned before, some of you might recall, how in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, there's a story of Pondraka. And in the beginning of that chapter, Shukadev Goswami, he explains what a fool Pondraka was, that he would challenge Krishna, that I'm Vishnu, you are not Vishnu, I really am, but you have stolen my symbols, the lotus, conch, club, and chakra, and I want them back. So Pondraka, he was such a crazy fellow. Shukadev Goswami there, in the beginning of that chapter, he mentions that there was one fool named Pondraka, and he was trying to do like this. And then a few verses later, he says something similar. The message, at least, is the same, although the words are not exactly the same. So one of our acharyas, in commenting on the second verse, he makes the point that it is very significant that Shukadev Goswami has repeated what he said. Yes, it means this is a very important point, we should really take note of it. A special note. He says that Srimad Bhagavatam has got so much information compressed into it. He says it is a relatively small book for those of us who are having difficulty finishing Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a relatively small book, and there's so much information that normally Shukadev Goswami says things very briefly and only once. In other literatures, Mahabharata, Ramayana, and various other literatures, you find much more lengthy descriptions of different situations and people and events and so on. Here, like we, on Ram Nomi, we read about the pastimes of Lord Ram. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are just two chapters. There's very little. So, Shukadev Goswami, or rather one of our acharyas, makes the point that the fact that Shukadev Goswami has repeated this statement means it's very important. So here, Srila Prabhupada is drawing our attention to the fact that this statement is also repeated. Very clearly it's the same statement. And it's being repeated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a small book. It's only 18 volumes. 18,000 verses. It's very small. And everything's condensed and expressed so succinctly and so much to the point without excessive verbiage. So it's significant that this verse is repeated. So this is an important point in our philosophy, that we are surrounded by so many people, and particularly those who we are more intimately connected with, family members, close friends, so on and so forth. So there are all these different people, and particularly these closer people, and there's so much pressure to satisfy so many people, particularly family members and close friends, and then beyond that, so many others. The government, the forefathers, and so many different people, actually. There's so much pressure to satisfy so many people, and leave Krishna till last, as the famous little Hindu shloka goes, Mata, Pita, Guru, Mother, Father, Guru, God. You're familiar with that one? Yes. Mother, Father, Guru, God. You know, God is out there somewhere. And we assume that when they say Mother and Father, then their brothers and sisters and all come in too, because after all, you know, your uncle is sort of just like an an extended father, that's all, really. So, and then you get to God, but by that time you probably ran out of whatever there was to give. So actually the fact is, God comes first. God comes first. And if we really first of all want to do the right thing and mold our lives so that we actually become successful and achieve the goal of life, if we want to do that, then we should acknowledge this. That's the first point. That all these so many other people that we're meant to satisfy, or at least according to certain standards we're meant to satisfy, but don't worry about them too much. Certainly don't put them before the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't do that. So put Krishna first. Try and please Krishna first. And make that one's business in life, one's focus in life, and work towards achieving that as the goal of life. This is very important. This is Krishna consciousness. And other things, they may pass as piety, kindness, sense of responsibility according to material standards, and so on. But they actually don't have much to do with the goal of life and becoming successful. In fact, in one way or another, individually or collectively, these types of activities add up to distractions. That's all. That's all. Very nice distractions, perhaps. Very pious distractions. We'll be distracted very nicely. But, nonetheless, still, distraction. So what does that mean? Anatha, again. Unwanted, useless things. But those people are there and some connection is there. So if we are to do something for them, then, here, this is now explaining what, if we want to do something for them, what is the best thing? The best thing is, if we please Krishna, again, the same point, then that will help them in the best way. So we may feel this is a little esoteric point, and people may think we're being a little radical and, antisocial, something of that sort. But actually it is stated here very plainly in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very important point. And there are examples that illustrate this point. How? If you please Krishna, you actually please all the others in the best ways. A famous story in Mahabharata of Mother Draupadi with Devasa Muni. Very famous story that Mother Draupadi and the Pandavas, they were exiled. They were out in the forest and just living from day to day. No comforts, no luxuries. They're just a very meager existence in terms of material facilities. Just out there in the forest. So there they were. But somehow Draupadi got one pot. Maybe, probably wasn't a wedding present. But, because they got married under extraordinary circumstances. But one way or another, she had one pot. Which was, if you looked at it, it looked just like a fairly typical pot. But it was not typical at all. It was a mystical pot. And it was empowered somehow in such a way that if you cooked in it, then whatever you cooked in this otherwise ordinary looking pot, that would be enough to feed any number of people. There was no limit. Millions, billions, the whole world all living entities, no problem. From that one pot, cooking one time. However, there was a limit on that potency, and that was that the pot could only perform like that once a day. Then you had to wait for the next day. And then it would do the same thing. But after you'd used it once, then if you're going to cook a second time, it would not produce those remarkable results. So now, there was Mother Draupadi and the Pandavas and Queen Kunti. They were out there in the forest in exile, and the arch rival, Duryodhana, the big rascal demon, he was aware of this pot, actually. And he knew that it was Mother Draupadi's practice. It was just, she was regulated, that every day at a certain time she'd cook. So he was thinking, actually he was thinking of so many ways how to get at the Pandavas. But one day he saw what appeared to him to be a wonderful opportunity for getting at the Pandavas. Devasa Muni arrived at the palace with his 60,000 disciples. And so they had some pleasant exchange. And Devasa Muni said that I would like to do something for you. Just tell me anything and I'll do it for you. So the time of Draupadi's cooking had passed for that day. And Duryodhana knew that now it's a bit late. She will have used the pot and that will be finished now for today. So Duryodhana, he said to Devasa Muni, yes, thank you. If you want to do something to please me or help me, then would you just go and find the Pandavas in the forest and ask Mother Draupadi to prepare a feast for you and your 60,000 disciples? So Devasa Muni said, sure, no problem. Off he went. And he found them after a little while there in the forest. There was Mother Draupadi. And sure enough, the pot had been used. She was just in the process of cleaning up after the cooking. So Devasa Muni approached her with his 60,000 disciples and said, you know, we're all feeling very hungry. Could you please prepare a nice feast? A very nice feast. We'll go down to the river, we'll take bath, we'll be back in half an hour. And we would like a very nice feast. So, Mother Draupadi, she panicked. But she knew, now this pot has been used and I'll have to wait till tomorrow. Half an hour is just not enough time at all. We would have to wait till tomorrow. But this Devasa Muni, if he comes back in half an hour and there is not a feast, then he's a very, you know, sort of sensitive person, oversensitive. And he'll just react. He'll just react strongly and get angry with me without even taking into consideration the circumstances. So she thought, oh, this is terrible. What to do? She took shelter of Krishna. She just called out, hey Krishna, hey Govinda. Krishna appeared on the scene. She explained everything to him. Krishna said, okay, no problem. Just look in the pot, see if there's even a little bit of vegetable left, just even a scrap, and I'll have it, and then we'll see. I'm sure we can solve this problem. So Draupadi looked, but she looked carefully, she thought. There was nothing. The pot was spotless. So then Krishna said, no, let me look. So he looked. Sure enough, tucked away in one little corner somewhere was a little scrap, tiny little scrap of some subject, barely visible. So Krishna, he took that little scrap and he enjoyed it so much. He said, oh, now you've satisfied me completely. I just feel so happy. There's In other words, there's so much love and devotion in that cooking of Draupadi. She's such an affectionate devotee of the Lord. The Lord, he experienced that. It was just like an overwhelming experience. So he didn't need to eat anything more. He was fully satisfied. Now, what do they say? Meanwhile, down by the river, Devasamuni and company were taking their bath and chatting about, I hope she makes this. Well, I hope she makes that. They are contemplating this upcoming feast, supposed feast. There they were in the river. Suddenly, they felt a change in their bodily conditions. Suddenly, they felt like they had eaten a big feast. In fact, they were just able to stagger out of the river and sort of collapse on the ground. And they were sort of huffing and puffing and saying, oh, big feast. I overdid it. But I didn't eat anything. What happened? So Devasamuni, all of them, they felt like this. They could, like they were just bloated practically. And Devasamuni said, you know, she's preparing a big feast for us. But if we go back like this, we won't even be able to look at the food. It'll be too much. And we'll look like total fools and rascals. We make a cook a big feast, then we come back and we just don't eat anything. So we can't do that. So let's just escape. There's a saying, well, I mean, there are different versions of it. If there's a problem, an American throws money at it. An Englishman throws words at it. And some other does something. And somebody else turns their back and walks away from it. I know some Italian says it's time for a siesta. These funny little things. And some nationality, they just turn around and walk away from it. So that's what they decided to do. We can't face her. It'll be too much. So we won't face her. Let's just go. You know, it wasn't our idea to come here anyway. So let's just go. So they did. And Krishna, there with Draupadi. Draupadi was hoping that he would just manifest some massive pile of first-class prasadam, but he didn't. He just sat there saying, that was really nice. I'm so happy, thank you. So she was still in anxiety, but then after half an hour, no one came. After 45 minutes, after an hour, nobody came. So they didn't even say anything, they just went. So this is a real case history then of how this principle actually worked, how it works. Now, we might say that why doesn't it work today? I mean, does it work today? Or what? Because, you know, we're trying to please Krishna. We're trying to serve Krishna. But we don't see that everyone's becoming satisfied. Actually, we find, rather, everyone is becoming more dissatisfied in general, just with life and their lives, and they're not becoming more God-conscious. So what is the situation? Is this a defect? Is this only true under certain circumstances? Well, no, not really. Actually, it's true. It is true. But Sometimes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he delays something happening to put more pressure on, to bring something better out of the devotees particularly. Yes, there are many cases like that where Krishna apparently has not reciprocated with the devotee. So the devotee has had to strain more, do more, try more to please Krishna. Then the result may come. So even we experience such things happening. So what is it? Is it that Krishna is whimsical or just inconsistent, or, you know, we're discussing this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Is he indecisive? Is he deceptive? Yes. Or different things like this. Well, the answer is no. But he is independent. He is independent. But whatever he does is to bring out the good in the devotees and for the devotees. So even if we are trying to be Krishna conscious, spread Krishna consciousness, but people are not taking it up as much as we would like. Rather, they're taking up sometimes some silly things. Oh, some terribly silly types of practices. Spiritual practices, material practices. Just some really foolish things. And overlooking the great value of Krishna consciousness. But it is really just Krishna trying to put a little more pressure on us so that we, our desire to serve him, our desire to become Krishna conscious, our realizations about reality in general, these things become much stronger. And in this way we become stronger. And that will help us actually to become Krishna conscious. If Krishna just handed us everything on a plate and we didn't have to make any effort, it would not be good for us. So all these tests and, you know, apparently things are not, the movement or the spread of Krishna consciousness is not happening as quickly as we might like. This is all for our benefit, as sometimes we say, it is character forming. Sometimes people say something is character forming if it's just tough. But actually it's character forming. Actually it's character forming. That the devotees feel impelled to surrender more and try more and cultivate pure consciousness more. If things are not always just working out very quickly in exactly the right way. But still, the principle is there, even though we may not see it so quickly, that if we stick to serving Krishna, we're doing the best thing, for example, to please our parents, who, of course, would like, you know, that we become successful materialists, at least in so many cases. And you know, you can go to the temple on Sunday sometimes, something like that. So you can be Krishna conscious, what's the problem? But there is a problem. There is a problem. So actually we should really first and foremost try to become Krishna conscious. And in that way we're doing the best thing to satisfy our parents and other relatives, and the whole world. The whole world. Even though our parents may not turn around after a little while and tell us, well, we don't want you to get a job any longer. We just want you to be a devotee because it's so nice. Even though that may not happen. But still, this point is true. That if we satisfy Krishna, it is the best thing we can do for everyone. And they will benefit, and the benefit will be manifest in due course. Just like one final little example, Srila Prabhupada, one devotee once was saying to Srila Prabhupada that in certain countries back in those days, in the 70s, our movement was facing a lot of interference and so on from certain governments. Some governments, like I think it was Argentina, they closed our movement down on the spot. They walked in and it was over. Military government. Everything was stopped. On the spot. Just like that. No notice. No nothing. Everything finished. So there were things like this were happening in some places. So the devotees wrote to Prabhupada and said, you know, they're trying to stop our movement. Maybe if the governments around the world become more demoniac, maybe our movement will be stopped. And the whole effort of Krishna consciousness, everything will be stopped. So this was now, maybe in the mid-70s, so 25 or so years ago. Prabhupada's response was, it's too late already. They can't stop us. Even if they try, it's too late. Prabhupada said, because we've distributed so many books already. Yes. And they are like time bombs. They may not have gone off already and shown very clearly some very dramatic effect, but it's just a matter of when, that's all, not if. Yes, so Prabhupada made that point. It's already too late. That was 25 years ago. Yes. So the effect will manifest, even though for the sake of keeping us on our toes and related types of concerns of Krishna about how we're doing. Even though things may not immediately come to this point, as the two verses are describing, but it's just a question of time, that's all. So we should carry on confidently with our Krishna conscious activities and know that we're doing the best thing all round for everyone. Any comments or questions? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.